The Bible is God's word, and it is good for us to hear it read and to hear it taught. Imagine 2.25 billion cups. 2.25 billion cups. Now, I can't imagine that. I can't picture it in my head. It is far too great. Yet, there are 2.25 billion cups of coffee that are drunk a day. Just at our church. That's right. 2.25. I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? 2.25 billion cups. I mean, to be fair, when I don't get enough sleep, I drink half that, so it skews the numbers a little bit. That is incredible. Coffee is something that's important. It is the second most consumed beverage in the world. It is something that 9 out of 10 of us in here consume regularly. In fact, daily. Isn't that incredible? It is a very important thing. And you can definitely tell the difference if you drink coffee between good coffee and bad coffee. Now, have you ever been to a place that has bad coffee, that serves bad coffee? That's awful. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth, both literally and figuratively, because you think, man, could you not have gotten something better? Is it not worth it to you? Coffee is important to people. Well, our Connect team, they spent a lot of time going through different coffees. And they did this in order to find one that is really good, and the coffee they got, I think, is really good. They went through coffee after coffee and finally landed on this one that I think is delicious. The reason they did that is not so that they would have good coffee when they get here early to wake them up. That wasn't their purpose. No, it was for me and for you and for anybody else who would come in here that wants coffee. They didn't just get coffee for themselves. They did it in order to make a good impression. They wanted people to know that we are expecting them. They wanted people to feel welcomed in our space. They wanted them to feel comfortable. Maybe they also wanted them to stay awake during the sermon. I mean, there are a lot of reasons probably. But you see, they did it in order to show hospitality. Because if they would have gotten something bad, if they just wouldn't have cared at all and people came in here and had this really bad coffee, they just would have been like, okay, I guess they don't care about that. I guess it's not important enough, even though I drink coffee and I want good coffee. So would you join me in thanking our Connect team, not just for their coffee, but for everything that they do. Now, they are the people who open the door for you. They are the people who smile at you, who hand you bulletins, who make the coffee and set it out. They did all of this. They went through this process of finding this good coffee for the sake of hospitality. They also didn't sleep for 3 weeks because of all the coffees they had to try. But hey, it was for the sake of hospitality. We are in a series right now on our core values. These are things that are important to us as a church, and they are important to us because they are important in the Bible. Last week, we talked about our first core value, which is gospel faithfulness. This week, we are talking about our second core value, which is outrageous hospitality. Now, I don't mean hospitality that is so good it makes you mad. That's not what I mean. I mean a type of hospitality that is uncommon, a type of hospitality that is unusual, that is different, that is over the top. And as we walk through John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 this morning, we're going to see how our hospitality should be. We're going to see three qualities of our hospitality. So let's start with the first one. Number one, the first quality of our hospitality should be reflective. Our hospitality should be reflective. There's a home down on 30A on the Gulf of Mexico that is, and I quote, a luxurious 8-bedroom, 11-bath home that features 8,200 square feet of living space, a private pool, and extraordinary views of the coast. This beautiful home is currently for sale. I thought about buying it myself, but didn't really like the color. Also, it cost $20 million, so there was that in the equation. $20 million for that house. Now, I want you to imagine something. Pretend for a second that somebody comes to you and says, hey, I see how hard you work in life, and I see how kind you are to other people, and you know, you probably don't get rewarded for all of that, but I see it, and so I want to do something for you. I want to buy you this $20 million house. It is going to be yours, And not only am I going to buy it for you, I'm going to pay all of the ongoing expenses. I'm going to pay the taxes, the energy bill, anytime something breaks. I will pay for all of that, the insurance, everything. I'm going to pay for it, but it's going to be yours. Imagine that happened to you. Someone does that. Would you accept that? Probably. Okay, now imagine that you move in, you're there, and the reason you did this is because you want to live in that house. You think it's awesome. And also, it's only 25 minutes from Anchor, so you could still be part of this church. But you live there, and then after a little while of living there, someone comes up to you and says, can I talk to you about something? Now, you know this person is going through a hard time in their life. You know that they have been struggling lately. What they say to you is, I have a couple months where I need a place to live. And I heard that since you moved into this house down there, your old house is sitting vacant. And so I was hoping that just for 2 months, I could live in your old house. I have renter's insurance. I will take care of it. That nothing will go wrong there. I'm going to treat it like it's my own. So would you allow me to live there for just a couple months? What would your response be to that? Now, if you said, absolutely not. No way. That is my house. I'm not going to let you live in it. Would that be right? No. Because you have received hospitality from someone else. Hospitality that is worth over $20 million. And now you are being asked to extend hospitality that is, what, maybe $5,000 to someone else? It would not be right. All of us know that it would be wrong if you just said no to that person. The fact of the matter is, because of what you have received, because of the hospitality you have experienced, you should be changed. You should help others. You should want to show this person hospitality. You should reflect the hospitality that you have received. Here's what Jesus tells us about what we have received from and experience in God. Look with me at John chapter 14, verse 1. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? He says, in his Father's house, there are many rooms. And he says that he is going to prepare a place for us in that house. And then one day he will come back and take us to be with him. Now, just to be clear, a room in God's house is far more luxurious, far larger, far more priceless than any house down on 30A. In fact, a room in God's house is in every way better than any place, any house here on earth. And that is what you receive if you have faith in Jesus. God has given you a room in his house. He has shown you a hospitality that is absolutely outrageous. A hospitality that you could never experience from someone else. A hospitality that is far greater than you could ever show anyone. God has shown you outrageous hospitality. Would it be right for you now not to show hospitality to others? Would it be right for you to treat people the opposite of the way that God has treated you? No, that's not right. You see, our hospitality should be reflective of God's hospitality to us. It should be reflective. And this is how God talks about it in Romans chapter 15, verse 7. It says, therefore, welcome one another just as Christ also welcomed you to the glory of God. We welcome others as a reflection of how God has welcomed and served us. We treat others with hospitality, reflecting God's hospitality toward us. You see, our hospitality should be reflective. And this is part of being made in the image of God. If you were to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, when God creates humans, he says that he made them in his image. Well, part of that means that we are supposed to reflect what God is like to the world. We are like little mirrors walking around reflecting God's glory all the time. But because of sin, instead of being mirrors that reflect God's glory, we have flipped the mirror. so that we are just looking at ourselves. We are reflecting ourselves. Well, if you have faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is continually flipping that mirror back around so that you would display the image of God. You would reflect God to the world. And one of the ways that you reflect God to the world is by being hospitable to others, because God is hospitable. Your hospitality should be reflective. Does your hospitality, especially here at church, although you shouldn't just be hospitable at church, but does your hospitality to others at church reflect God's hospitality to you? When you are here on Sunday, are you hospitable to others? Well, maybe you say, Sean, I don't know. How can I know if I am hospitable to others? Well, let me ask you a few questions. Do you take time to talk to others here at church? Do you take time to listen to others? Do you smile and say hello? Do you race to be the first one out of here after the service? Or do you check on others? Do you serve others here at church? Now, I know I ask those questions, and you might think to yourself, Sean, no, you've got it all wrong. You don't get it. I'm an introvert. I am not a people person. I am not made for that. So I don't want to talk to anybody else. Let somebody else who is naturally more gifted with people, who wants to talk to people, let them do that, not me. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's what you're saying. Well, I just want to read Romans 15:7 again. Therefore, if you are extroverted, if you are a people person, welcome one another just as Christ also welcomed. Is that what it said? No, that's not what it says. You see, when we read this, it is very clear that we don't get a pass on being hospitable based on our personality. It is very clear that we are all called to this outrageous hospitality. This hospitality that goes beyond our personality, beyond our excuses. An outrageous hospitality. Because God's hospitality is like that. Our hospitality should be reflective. That's the first quality. There's a second quality of our hospitality. It's number two. Our hospitality should be responsive. Our hospitality should be responsive. Let's look again at what Jesus said about this hospitality that we have received from God, that we are receiving from God, and that we will receive from God. Look with me at John chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God has been hospitable to you? Do you really believe that? Do you believe that Jesus was telling the truth in these verses? That he wasn't joking when he said that he was going to prepare a place for you in God's house? Do you believe that Jesus was being honest when he said that he will go away and then he will come back to take us to a place where we will experience God's hospitality in an even greater way than we are experiencing it right now? If you believe that, what should your response be to it? Sometimes we can think that Christianity is something that is just between me and God. Like Christianity is all about me reading my Bible, me praying, me going to church. And to be sure, that is part of Christianity. It is a core part of Christianity. You have been united to Jesus. You have been united to God in Christ. You have a personal relationship with God because of Jesus. That is true. But that is not the only truth of Christianity. The Bible is clear that when you have a relationship with God, it should cause you to respond in a certain way. Your relationship with God should make you live differently. When someone has an interaction with you, well, they should know that you are different. And that difference stems from the experience you have had with God. Since you have experienced the hospitality from God, then you should respond with how you live. Since you have experienced hospitality from God, you should extend hospitality to others. Your hospitality should be responsive. Black Friday is coming up. It will be here before now. If you are young, Black Friday is this quasi-holiday that tried to invade Thanksgiving. Maybe it still is, I don't know. But it's this holiday that is very interesting. It is where it's like Cyber Monday, but you actually have to go in person to the store to get the deals. You have to go there and dodge those people who will run you over. They will do anything to save $20 on an air fryer. That's Black Friday, okay? Now, Black Friday's coming. Imagine on Black Friday, you go into a store and you find this deal that you think is spectacular. You have been looking for something like this. Whatever is on sale, it's something you want and you know that others would want. And it is really cheap only on Black Friday. So you start thinking, okay, I should probably buy this thing. And you do. You go up and you buy it. But that would not be the end, would it? If it's something really good, you wouldn't end with just buying it. You would probably call your friends, call your family members, maybe even call your coworkers and tell them about this ridiculous deal that you have found because you want them to experience it too. It is so great, you must share it. It is so great that you must have a response to it, telling others about it. If you have received the outrageous hospitality of God, then you know that it is so great that you want others to receive it too. That is the response that naturally comes from experiencing God's hospitality. Are you hospitable? You know how, I'm sure you know people who are far from God. There are people that you have a relationship that don't know Jesus. Do you know how most of those people will experience God's hospitality? It'll be through you. When you are hospitable to someone, that person gets a little taste of God's hospitality. When you welcome someone in, they get a tiny feeling of what it is like to be welcomed into God's family. When you give them a place to belong, they get to see a little bit of what it is like to belong in God's family. Through your hospitality, they may come to faith in Jesus and experience God's hospitality. Since you have experienced that, you want others to experience it too. Our hospitality should be responsive. So if you are a Christian, if you have experienced God's outrageous hospitality, let me ask you, are you responding to it by showing hospitality to others? Do you see how outrageously hospitable he has been to you? Just think about it. Think about what he has done. God created you to be in a relationship with him, yet you have decided to go against him, to rebel. All of us have decided to do that. And though we were rebels, though the Bible calls us enemies of God, he has adopted us as his children. He has welcomed us into his family. That is outrageous hospitality, a kind of hospitality that we can't even imagine. And if we see just how magnificent his hospitality is, shouldn't we respond to it? Shouldn't we be hospitable to others? Do you see how hospitable God is to you, and are you responding by being hospitable to others? Our hospitality should be responsive. That's the second quality of it. And then there's a third quality that we see here. It's number three. Our hospitality should be far-reaching. Should be far-reaching. So look with me at John chapter 14, verse 3. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Jesus says that now we see it in past tense, but he said that he went away and he is preparing a place for us. And he said that he will come again to take us to himself. Now, to understand what he is talking about there, we need to go further back. We need to know what he did before he said this. And this is what he did. Jesus left the glories of heaven, where everything was completely perfect. He left to come here to earth. He left a place where everything is right to come here, where we have flu viruses and wars, and I'm trying to say this nicely, fast food Mexican restaurants that really upset your stomach. Like Jesus left the glories of heaven to come here where we have Taco Bell. That's what I'm getting at. Jesus left where everything is perfect to come here. He left paradise to live in the dirt with us. And you know why he did that? Because his mission, given by the Father, was to come to save us from our sins. To save people like me and people like you who don't deserve grace. We deserve God's judgment for betraying him. But Jesus came on a mission. He left the glories of heaven to do that. And you know, when Jesus did that, he didn't just go to the next house. Jesus didn't just go a few steps down the street. Jesus didn't just go to the next neighborhood. No, Jesus came all the way from heaven down to earth to save sinners. That is a hospitality that is far-reaching. And the distance between heaven and earth is far greater than the distance that we could possibly go to show hospitality to others in Christ. The distance between heaven and earth is far greater than the distance between you and your neighbor that are completely different. The distance between heaven and earth is far greater than the distance between you and that person who lives in a different neighborhood. The distance between heaven and earth is far greater than the distance between you and that person who is on the opposite side of the political spectrum. Jesus came all the way from heaven to save us. That is a far-reaching hospitality. We see when we read about where he came from, what he came to, we see how far-reaching his hospitality is. If Jesus' hospitality is far-reaching, shouldn't ours be too? If we have experienced that hospitality that reached all the way from heaven, shouldn't we be willing to reach far for the sake of the gospel? Well, here's the truth. A lot of us, we want a church where the people in the church are a lot like us. We want to go to a church where people are almost the same as us. Both as individuals and as a church, we can think this way. I want my church to be full of people who look like me. I want my church to be full of people who think like me. I want my church to be full of people who dress like me. I want my church to be full of people who are interested in the same things that I am. I want my church to be full of people who like the same music as me. We could go on and on, and we can have that mindset, which causes us to have hospitality only to the people that we like or only to people who are like us. But listen to me. That is a hospitality that is close-reaching, not far-reaching. The hospitality of God, though, is far-reaching. Listen to what Jesus said to us about this in Luke chapter 14, verse 12. He also said to the one who had invited him, "When you give a lunch or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors, because they might invite you back and you would be repaid. On the contrary, when you host a banquet, invite those who are poor, maimed, lame, or blind, and you will be blessed. Because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Jesus says that when you are showing hospitality, it shouldn't just be to those who are like you, your brothers and sisters, your relatives, your neighbors, your friends. Right? You can't have a hospitality that just makes you comfortable, like hospitality with your relatives, for instance. Because you like being around those people. That's not hospitality. And I know that I said that, and some of you are like being around my relatives? Sean, you have no idea what you're talking about. Thanksgiving is coming up, and I'm dreading it. Okay, well, if that's the case, be hospitable to them. But your hospitality, Jesus says, should reach the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. In other words, the people who are outcasts in society. The people who others have forgotten. The people that others don't want. The people that make others uncomfortable because they're awkward. The people that are different from you. That is a far-reaching hospitality. God's hospitality, as shown by how Jesus left the glories of heaven to come to earth, is far-reaching. Now, our hospitality should be far-reaching. Is yours? Or do you try to reach people that you already get along with, or that you think are a lot like you? We are called to have a hospitality that is far-reaching. That is the third and final quality of our hospitality. Friends, hospitality is and must always be important to our church. This hospitality must be reflective, responsive, and far-reaching. If we have a hospitality that has those qualities, then it will be an outrageous hospitality, a hospitality that is like God's. But I know that when we start talking about this, we can just make it a task. We can start having different motivations for being hospitable. So let me be clear about it. We don't want to be hospitable just to be hospitable. We don't want to be hospitable just so that people will say good things about us. We don't want to be hospitable just so people will like our coffee. That's not what it is about. No, we want to be hospitable because God has been hospitable to us. And when we show hospitality to others, it points to the hospitality of God. And we see that hospitality most clearly in the gospel. You see, if we want to be hospitable, we have to be shaped by the gospel. We have to think through the gospel. And that is that though we are rebels against God, he sent his son Jesus to pay for our rebellion, to pay for our sins with his life. We have forgiveness because Jesus died to pay for the wrongs that we have done. And because Jesus did that, we have been brought in. We have been welcomed into the family of God forever. That is outrageous hospitality. And now, as people who have experienced that from God, and as people who have the Holy Spirit of God living in us, we extend outrageous hospitality to others. You see, our hospitality is rooted in the gospel. It is a response to the gospel so that others may see it and experience hope in the gospel. Are you hospitable to others, especially here at church? I hope you are. And I hope that you are growing in your hospitality. We all need to continually be growing in it. Because as we grow in hospitality, we are becoming more like Jesus, who is hospitable. And so you may say, Sean, I want to grow, but how do I do that? I just want to give you three practical ways to grow in your hospitality here at church. Here's the first way. Number one, serve on the Connect team. Serve on the Connect team. Welcome people. Hold the door for people, hand bulletins to people, smile at people. It is not rocket science. You, yes, even you, can do this. Now you might say, no, Sean, I'm not built for that. I'm not particularly friendly or welcoming. Hey, that's okay. You can learn and you can grow and you can become more welcoming. But it's not going to happen unless you are willing to do it. So serve on the Connect team. Second way is serve in kids ministry. You know, families feel welcome at church when they know that their kids are cared for and ministered to. In order for us to do that as a church, it takes many, many people serving in kids ministry. So go through the process, get vetted, get trained, and serve in kids ministry. I promise you, you will grow if you do that. Serve in kids ministry, that's the second way. And then the third way, and this is the easiest way. Number three, talk to people when you're here. Talk to people when you are at church. One thing that breaks my heart as one of the pastors of Anchor Church is when I see people before the service come in and sit there silently with no one talking to them. That is horrible. We cannot let that happen. You cannot let that happen. Especially if it is a visitor, that person is a visitor, it is really bad. We need to let people know that they are welcome here. You know how you do that? Talk to them so they don't feel alone. You don't have to be on the Connect team to do this. Anyone can do it. Just make the effort. So talk to people when you are here. That's the third way. Friends, let's be people who are hospitable. Let's show others the hospitality of God for the sake of the gospel. Let's show outrageous hospitality here at church. My question to you is, have you experienced the hospitality of God in Jesus? If you have never trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin, then you haven't experienced it. You haven't received this hospitality. And right now, God kindly and warmly invites you into a relationship with him. He invites you to be part of his family. Receive that invitation today. Come to God and say, I know I am a sinner who stands guilty before you, but forgive me based on what Jesus has done for my forgiveness. And if you believe that in your heart, your sins will be forgiven and you will experience the hospitality of God forever. So if you know that I'm talking to you, you can feel the Lord working on your heart right now. Don't resist. I'm going to be standing right down here as we sing this last song, waiting for you. Come as everybody else is singing. Let's talk about what it means to follow Jesus. If you have questions about it, I'm going to be hanging around after the service, waiting for you. Do not leave here today without trusting in Jesus and experiencing the outrageous hospitality of God. So we're going to respond to what we have heard, to the hospitality of God this morning. We're going to sing, and as we sing, I encourage you to sing from your heart. Reflect on God's grace and his kindness toward you. Thank him for what he has done. And maybe as we sing, you feel called to respond in a very specific way. Maybe your heart cries out and you say, God, I want to be more hospitable. I want to introduce more people to you through my hospitality. Or maybe your heart cries out for someone that you know that hasn't trusted in Jesus yet, hasn't experienced this hospitality. And your heart is broken for them. Well, pray for that person. Ask that God would change them. Or maybe right now your heart cries out and it says, Lord, I want to serve you in any way that I can in order to show others your hospitality. Well, respond to that now. Respond to what God is putting on your heart. So I'm going to pray and we are going to sing. And as we sing, respond as the Lord leads you. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much. Though we were your enemy, though we were rebels, that you have forgiven us. You have welcomed us into your family. Lord, let us never lose sight of the incredible, the outrageous hospitality that you have showed us. And let us be formed by that. Let our hearts change, let our actions change so that we would minister to others for the sake of the gospel. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in here right now who doesn't know you, who hasn't trusted in Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would work on their heart. You would grab a hold of it and not let it go. They would respond to your grace and your kindness. They would trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sin. Let it be, Lord, for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name.